The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, fellas, thank you for that. God bless you both. Very good. Hope you enjoyed a good Father's Day today, perhaps as you were able to get with loved ones and be able to spend time. I hope that perhaps if your dad is in another state or country, that you have taken time to be able to contact him and let him know that you love him and how important he is to you. For those that live local, I hope that you've taken time to do something extra special for your dad on such a day as this. You know, I think it's a shame, really, that we have to have a Father's Day or a Mother's Day or something like that in America on this level, that it takes that for us to remember. I think you always ought to love those that are close to you and that mean so very much to you. Now for our sermon tonight, look, if you will, in the book of Luke, chapter 15, in verse 20, where the Bible says, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." And Father, tonight we pray for your blessing on the message. Speak to our hearts. And Lord, we love you. And I pray tonight that you'd help us to understand a father's heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's talk tonight about the prodigal's father. I want to give you some things tonight about this man, if I may please, that could be a great help. And we'll do a Bible study almost tonight, though it'll be preaching, but almost also like a Bible study. Here we'll see some things that's listed, and I believe as we take this chapter, Luke chapter 15, we'll see these things that are listed and why I believe that God listed them in your Bible. Here we see tonight that the provider, that which is the father of the prodigal, is the provider of the family. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15 and verse 11, "And he said, a certain man had two sons." Now, by the way, he's the provider of all that is in his household. So he's supposed to provide. That means he's supposed to provide for the one that is in his household, no matter what the need is. You know, as a dad, I want to make sure that our children have their physical needs taken care of. I want to make sure that they have their educational needs taken care of. I want to make sure that they have their spiritual needs taken care of. I want to make sure that they have their emotional needs taken care of. Why? Well, I'll tell you why, because that's just what dads do. Dads should be those that provide for the family. We're supposed to provide them direction. We're supposed to provide for them, if you would please, the things that they need in their individual lives to be able to help them so that one day they'll be able to stand on their own when it comes to facing that which is the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're supposed to be able to help them to be able to understand the scriptures and to be able to get some principles in their life, because one day they'll have a family of their own and one day they'll have to give an account for how they provide for their own families. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But if any provide not for his own, especially for his own house," the Bible says, "he have denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." So you and I as dads tonight are supposed to provide for our families. Now, by the way, deep down in the heart of every dad tonight, there is an earnest desire to be able to provide for the family. If the dad loves the family, when the family hurts, he hurts. When his wife hurts, he hurts. When his son or his daughter hurts, he hurts. There should be a web tonight between the heart of the father that provides and the children that are being provided for. Can I tell you, God is not for deadbeat dads. He's not for that at all. He is for the, let me help. And I don't think anybody's in here this way. But you ought to make sure that your children are cared for. Before you buy shoes for yourself, you ought to be buying shoes for your children. Before you buy food for yourself, you ought to be buying food for your children. Before you provide insurance for yourself, you ought to be providing insurance and care for your children. You ought to make sure that they're educationally sound educationally sound. You ought to make sure that they're doing spiritual things. And you lead them as the priest of the home to do spiritual things. So the provider, the dad, if you will, please, is supposed to provide for the family. Statement number two, provided an inheritance for the children. So it doesn't just take place here and now, but one day you're going to be gone. One day you will not be living on earth anymore. Now, hopefully you'll take your living up in heaven. But can I tell you tonight that one day you will cease to exist as you presently are physically here on earth. Now, can I say tonight, you ought to take care of your children. The Bible talks about here, look at it, Luke chapter 15 and verse 12, the Bible says, and the younger of them said to his father, he says, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto him his living. All right. So what did he do? He was taking care. This young boy was taking his inheritance early. Now, can I tell you, a dad had to have an inheritance for him to take it early, which means this, that dad had planned ahead. Now, can I tell you that you ought to plan ahead? You don't know as to what might happen one day if you were to die before your children leave the house, before they're married, before they have a family of their own. You don't know what's going to happen. Therefore, you ought to provide for them as they're still living at home, and just in case that something is to happen to you, maybe a plane wreck, or maybe a train wreck, or maybe a drive-by shooting, or maybe you come down with a horrible disease that is debilitating, or perhaps takes your life, you ought to provide for them and to make sure not just here and now, but you're providing for them in case something tragically is to happen. I know many times dads, if you will please, husbands and dads do not think ahead. And because of that, not thinking ahead, and we taught an entire series on a Wednesday night Bible study on finances and how to take care of not only your retirement, but also how to take care of providing for your own. And we talked about insurances and all those many things to be able to equip our people to provide for those that are left behind. Now, can I say tonight, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 22, the Bible says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Now it's talking about grandchildren, all right? And so you ought to live in such a way that when you die, that somebody, if you will, is better off because of that which is your death. Now, I'm not saying because of your death they're better off and they're saying, well, thank the Lord he's gone. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we're talking about that provision. We're talking about, look, if you got little kids, then you ought to make sure you have some type of life insurance or something that would cover so that all of a sudden, if you're taken out of the way, that your wife and your children are not going to do without. It's just good old-fashioned common sense. Now, and by the way, you can get it cheap nowadays. You really can if you check into it. Now, I'm saying provided an inheritance for the children. A good dad is going to look at the children, and he's going to make sure that they have the provisions that they need. Oh, not only that, I'm saying that the provider of the family here now, I'm saying provided for the inheritance of the children, and yes, even the grandchildren as you can. Then recognize that the sons, he had a right to choose his own path. Now, by the way, maybe his dad did not agree with it, but he had the right to choose his own path. Listen to it, if you will, in your Bible. The Bible says here in Luke chapter 15 and verse 13. Now, by the way, this is an older boy. This is not a teenager. Let me emphasize. This is not a teenager. Let me emphasize. This is not a teenager. Let me emphasize. This is not a teenager. Let me just say it one more time. This is not a teenager. A teenager says, well, I tell you, I've got a right to do whatever I want to do. Now, wait a minute. Listen, not even an adult. Let me help you just a little bit. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Is that right? Is that what it says? But then it says this. It says that you're supposed to obey and honor. Okay, you remember the soldier. Let's say take the Roman soldier, if you will. And the Roman soldier is carrying a heavy bag. And the Roman soldier carrying the heavy bag as he's going along, all of a sudden here comes a Christian. Now, he beckons that Christian, and he says to the Christian, he says, now, according to law, he says, I want you to carry my bag a mile. And God came back and said to the believer, no, don't carry it a mile, carry it twain. carry it too. You know why? Because honor always goes farther than obedience. When you find that your parents tell you to obey, you not only ought to obey, but you ought to do it with a happy heart. You honor them. Just because you're not in the presence of your parents doesn't mean that you're not supposed to honor them. There's an honor. There's an honor. My daddy pulled us in the room one day and said, now look, he said, there are certain things that we don't do. Now, my daddy was not a believer. He was not saved at the time. We had been asking him all sorts of questions as boys that were getting older. And daddy said, now, there are certain things you're not going to do. And he said, you're not going to do them because your last name is Wells. I expect you to live up to being a Wells. Now, by the way, God chose my daddy. I did not choose my daddy. Some teenagers may think, well, I tell you what, if I had a different daddy, things would be different. You know, God knew exactly what you needed before you ever came into this world. He knew exactly what you needed because he knew who you would be. There's no surprises with God. Person looks around and says, well, I'll tell you what, I deserve this, I deserve that. Now, I love you, and I'm going to be as kind as I can, but you deserve to die and burn in hell, just like me. And anything above hell is a blessing. Amen. Amen. So if God blesses you with something, then thank God for it. You got a roof over your head, you got shoes on your feet, you got clothes for your back, you got food in your belly, thank God for it. Now, wait a minute. Here's what it says. Luke chapter 15, verse 13. The Bible says, in not many days, it says, after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, and he wasted his substance with riotous living. Well, he's up to no good. He already had a direction that he was going. But there came a time where the daddy said, okay, if you're going to go and I can't stop you, then go ahead and go. Now, wait a minute. As daddy did that, you don't think that he's brokenhearted? I mean, here's a dad that no doubt tried and tried and tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. I have a sermon that I preach from time to time on don't bury your parents young. Don't bury your parents young. No person in here ought to make your mom and daddy sit up at night and cry and worry over your carcass. You ought to love your parents enough to honor them and obey them. Don't make your parents die young. Don't put wrinkles on their face early. Don't make them lose their hair. Don't make them get bent over too quickly. You care for them. You watch over them. You help them. You be a blessing to them. No parent ought to have to report one day, well, one of my children broke my heart. No parent ought to have to report to that. You ought to love your parents so much that you never break their heart. Now, I'm saying this tonight. Luke chapter 15 and verse 14, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and when he had spent all, listen to what it says. There arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. You know, most young people that get a lot of money don't know how to handle the money that they get. You know, all of a sudden they'll go out. You look at all these people that win the lottery and say, boy, I've got the money. And then you find out years later that they're bankrupt and perhaps even filed bankruptcy because they did not know how to handle the great surplus of money that they did have. Luke chapter 15, verse 15, the Bible says, and he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country and he sent him into the fields, it says, to feed swine. He went from an elevated place. A place where he had a bed of his own, a place where he had clothes of his own, a place that maybe he had a room, a place perhaps where he could enter into the kitchen and at will open the refrigerator, a Jewish refrigerator, of course, and open the Jewish refrigerator and take out something to eat. He had a place maybe that he could go play ball in the backyard. He was respected. He had dignity. No doubt, everybody knew him as one of the sons. And everybody had perhaps great respect for him. But there was a day when he decided he would take all of his earnings, all of that which was his inheritance, all of it, gather it together, move to a far country. And when he moved to a far country, by the way, this boy was doing it wrong. He was doing it wrong. He should have stayed and let his dad try to help him, but he had his own mind. Maybe he's like some of you that says, now that I'm 18, I know what's better for me than my parents. If that be true, then you would not have parents today. But since you still have parents, there is probably a pretty good hunch that they know what's best for you. Can I say, Luke chapter 15 and verse 15, the Bible says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Look at verse 16, the Bible says, and he would fain, it says, have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And I love you, but listen to me. Nobody will love you as deep as your mom and daddy. Nobody will. Nobody will care for you as deep as your mom and daddy. They brought you into this world and they nurtured you. They love you. Moms and dads, most of the time, would be willing to die for their own children. Can I tell you tonight, you ought to thank God that you have a mom, and you ought to thank God that you have a dad, and recognize that, yes, there's a time when a young person can choose the path that they take, but do it with great consideration, because it doesn't just affect you. It affects your brothers, and it affects your sisters, and it affects your mom, and it affects your dad, and it affects your grandparents, and it affects your cousins, and it affects your nephews. And you never make a decision all by yourself, because every decision you make will affect those that are also around you. So you have to be careful. The Bible warns that we are supposed to go about, and it says that we're supposed to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues. The word issues is decisions. Because out of your heart are the issues, or the decisions of life. So what do? You guard your heart. You say, well, how do I do that? All right, let's use some of these men, if I may. I'll tell you what, give me a husband and wife. Oh, come on, Brother Watkins, and bring your wife. And bring your wife with you, okay? Make sure it's your wife. And now here we go. And so where's Hannah? Hannah, where you at? Is she here tonight? Second row. Hannah, I'm calling you. Come here, if you will. Thank you very much. You love your mom and dad? That's a good answer on the way up. All right? Now wait a minute. Watch this. Okay, so here you got a mom and daddy. And we're just using one daughter tonight, though I know that I could use the other daughter and son. But let's just use one for illustration's sake. Okay? Now, wait a minute. Watch this. And so they have a preacher, and the preacher gets up, and the preacher says, here's what the Bible says. Here's what we're supposed to do. Now, let's not forget it. I said, let's not forget it. We're supposed to go to that direction. This is what we're supposed to do. I'm saying that's what we're supposed to do. Hey, we're supposed to get a hold of that and go that direction. And daddy says, amen. And mama nods her head real good and smiles, and Hannah looks at them and says, well, I guess I ought to listen. You know, because they're on board. Now, wait a minute. Walk over here, if you will. And just so happened that God put a youth director. Come over here, Hannah, with your parents, because you love them. And so God put a youth director right here. Here we go. Come over here, Brother Jonathan. Stand right beside me, if you will. And so one day, I'm preaching down here. He's preaching upstairs in the youth room. And I'm saying, hey, that's what he's preaching upstairs in the youth room. And hey, we're supposed to go out soul winning. That's what we're supposed to do. See, we do speak in tongues in this church, I tell you. And then all of a sudden, I have a music director that's involved here. And the music director. Director is teaching and leading right as I and youth director is preaching, and this is what the Bible says, and you're supposed to go that way. And we point to the dad, and we point to the dad, and we point to the mom, and we try and get the child. Okay, and now we got school principal. And school principal comes and gives instructions, and we say, hey, well, we're supposed to follow Christ. Follow Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. And we're not supposed to go out and follow the world. We're supposed to follow Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. That means that we go soul winning. And that means that we go to church. And that means that we go to Sunday school. And that means that we come back Sunday night. And that means we come back on Wednesday night. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pick up ourselves. And we're supposed to follow Christ. And then all of a sudden she gets older and she comes to Bible college, has a college administrator in her life. And Brother Jonathan, you know, she remembers back way back when she was a teenager, and remembers singing in the teen choir under the direction of the choir who are you, music director, and remembers coming up in the Christian school and meeting with Brother Crutcher on numerous times, and now comes here to the college that we have. Here's the
the same thing all the time. Hey, that's what we're supposed to do. Get that Bible and lift that Bible high and put Jesus Christ first and follow Christ and follow Christ. I said follow Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. All right. And by the way, when a person sees that, there's comfort there. See, because we're preaching the same thing. Now, wait a minute, watch this. One day, all of a sudden, you get, most people, they won't get upset as much as with him. And so you get upset with him, and you throw him down the trash and stomp on him and kick him and say, boy, he's just no good. Don't listen to him. But by the way, normally when you get upset with one authority, you'll get upset with another somewhere down the road. So you'll get upset with somebody that has some rules and say, well, we don't like the rules. And, well, we just think the Christian school is all unfair. And it's because, you know, he's just cantankerous, he himself. And then you'll go for the lesser rules, if you will, if I may say. I mean, the one that's not harsh. And he's always smiling. He's always trying to lead a song. And who can get mad at leading a song? Who could get upset with singing for Jesus? But because you got mad at one authority, you got mad at another authority, and now you're going to get mad at another authority. And you'll probably never give this guy a chance. You won't go to the Christian college because it has more rules. It has more Bible. We have preachers in all the time. You just don't get preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Now you're going to get it on Monday. Now you're going to get it on Tuesday. Now you're going to get it on Wednesday. Now you're going to get it on Thursday. Now you're going to get it on Friday. Boy, we'll preach the devil out of you. All right? And so you don't want that. But you still like the preacher. You still like the preacher. So though you've X'd out everybody in your life, you still come to church because, after all, you don't want to drop out of church. What would people think? So even though you don't agree with everything the preacher says, you sit there and you grin a little bit. Because you don't want him to know that he just got you. And from time to time, when he says something's not your sin, you'll say amen, nod your head. Because after all, it's kind of hard. You know, are you listening to me? Now, can I tell you, that's a sad way to raise a family. That's a sad way. You're confusing that poor kid. I mean, you know, and before you know it, she'll start wearing clothes that's spotted because she can't see. I'm sorry. So I'm saying this. I'm saying that you understand this, that you recognize as these young people turning to adults, they're going to make some decisions. But now, wait a minute. His responsibility and her responsibility is to be able to guide the family in the way that they should go. And when they're old, we hope and we pray and we believe God's word is true, that they'll not depart from it. Thank you. Be seated, if you will. And so we recognize that the son has a right to choose his own path. Not saying it's a right one, but in this case it wasn't. But yet he did have that right. Statement number next, we understand this. Luke chapter 15 and verse 17. We understand that you are still the priest of the home. The Bible says here, listen to it. The Bible says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough? It says, and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He said, wait a minute, I'm looking back. And boy, I just remember, Daddy taught me good. Daddy helped to feed me. And Daddy took care of me. And he said, I tell you what, and now I'm out here and I'm hunger. I'm in hunger. I'm athirst. And he said, boy, I remember. I do remember. I do remember. He said, when he came to himself, and by the way, most of the time, later on, I have met people that have come to themselves. And they have said, boy, I tell you what, I used to be in church, and I'm not there anymore. And are you listening to me? You know why most people leave church? Because they get their feelings hurt. The preacher get up, and the preacher will preach, and he'll say, hey, that's what that Bible says. And you'll say, boy, that's just his opinion. When he's preaching to you right out of the book, and you get your feelings hurt, and you say, well, I tell you what, I just don't believe that he really cares for me. He doesn't love me. Well, you know, God loves through the preacher many times. Did you know that? And if you're not accepting the preacher's love, it's probably true that you're not accepting God's love. Because God uses the man of God to be able to love you and to show you the truth and to direct you. And by the way, there's no better way to receive love than to receive that which is the truth, even though the truth sometimes hurts. I'm so sorry, but we're building in our nation, we are building in our nation a bunch of pacify Christians. We really are. They can't take straightforward preaching now because they said, well, you know, he doesn't have a right to say that. I mean, after all, I can go down to some watered-down church and where I just feel the love of God, but you will not grow as a Christian that way. You'll remain the same all the days of your life. You will. You know, it used to be, it used to be a preacher get up and he didn't care what the people thought and he preached the Bible and thank God for the Bible and he'd preach it straight. But nowadays, preachers deliberate. Well, I wonder who that might offend. I wonder who that might hurt. Boy, I tell you, I couldn't live that way. Amen. You know, I'm called to preach. I'm not called to nursemaid people. And so I'll get up and I'll preach and let it fall where it may, and I hope it falls on good ground in your place. But now watch this, if you will. Here's what we understand. We understand this, that he is the priest of that family. He is trying to give direction. And that boy knew it. And that boy said, boy, I remember in my father's house, in my father's house, in my father's house, I had bread enough and even to spare. And here I'm out here in the middle of nowhere, and I'm perishing. All right, so we understand the father of the prodigal, he was to provide for the family. He's supposed to provide an inheritance for the family. He's supposed to recognize that one day that person, as they grow older, they're going to make choices, that he's still the priest of the home. Wait a minute, he's the intercessor of the family. Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 18. Here's what it says. The Bible says, and I will arise and go to my Father. Now why? Because to the Father he knew that he would get help and would say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. All right? Now the Father would always be the one that would make sacrifices for the family. Always be the one. I've said often now, you know, you got this thing about gun control, you know, and all this other stuff. And boy, I tell you what, I appreciate the Second Amendment. I really do. I've said this often. I said, I believe in holiness. I believe in holiness. You can take this to the bank. And I believe in holiness. If somebody breaks into my house, I'm going to make sure they leave holy. I believe in holiness. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that an intercessor for the family, he is interceding for the family. Let me give you another thought, and that is this. And he watch it now. He didn't condemn or judge his own son. He felt he hurt for the son. He felt he hurt for the son. He felt and he hurt for the son. Luke chapter 15, verse 19, the Bible says, I am no more worthy to call thy son. He says, make me as one of the hired servants. Listen to it now. He says, and he arose and he came to the father. But it says, he was yet a great way off. The father saw him. Now every father knows the silhouette of his own sons or daughters. That there's a certain way. My sons and my daughter all walk differently. Watch them. Stare at them sometime. They all walk differently. They've all got their own way that they carry themselves. Now, I thank God that she doesn't carry herself like one of the boys, and I thank God that they don't carry themselves like her. We would be all messed up. But they have a different, distinctive way that they carry themselves. All right? Now, wait a minute. So he recognized that boy. He recognized the silhouette, I believe, of his son sitting out there in those Jewish rocking chairs, reading that Jewish newspaper and drinking that Jewish community coffee. I believe that he recognized the silhouette of the boy. And the Bible says here, listen to it. The Bible says the son is coming back and probably all stooped over. And he said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Can you imagine all burdened down and humped over? And the Bible says that the dad arose. And the Bible says he arose and it says he came to his father. The son did there. The Bible says when yet afar off, his father saw him and had compassion. And the Bible says he ran to him. So that father arose also and he ran out and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. Now, here's a boy that had a repentant heart. And when he did, the father all of a sudden rose up and went out to greet him. Now, what do you do when somebody gets right with God? First off, you don't know how much a person gets right with God except by their own testimony. You don't know. You can't say, well, I just don't believe they did. Who are you? God did not die and put you in charge. Well, I just don't believe they were sincere. Well, I just don't believe. I mean, I'm going to have to watch them for at least 10 years to let them prove themselves. I'm so glad you're not the Lord. Peter backslid, was one of the biggest backsliders of his day, and 15 days later, God passed all the other disciples and said, you are preaching on the day of Pentecost. 15 days after he backslid. Now wait a minute. God did that. God did that. David was a murderer, and yet he said, he's a man after my own heart. Explain that one to me. You say, oh, that's right. I'm going to go out and murder somebody, and I'll be a man after God's own heart. No, that's not it. But God looked at his whole life, and God said, hey, here's a man and he forgave. And by the way, David came, and he asked forgiveness, and he got forgiven, and God still judged. But he restored him. Moses, God used to write pen the first five books of the Bible. But it was a murderer. And yet God used him. God forgave and God restored and God used him. Now, can I tell you something? You can't be peculiar in saying, well, God's going to use somebody and God's not going to use somebody else. You don't know. God might take that one that can't read and can't write and he can't think very clear and place his hand upon him and say, that's the one that I'm going to use and let God be God. Amen. I'm saying this tonight and I'm done. Not only that, you see this, that he loved his children equally. Now, this is amazing to me. Here's that prodigal. He went out, wasted his substance in riotous living, left the house, left daddy, left mama. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15 and verse 21, the Bible says, and the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring thither, it says, the fatted calf and kill it. It says, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. You know why? Because the boy that left has now come home. Come on. The boy that left has now come home. Brother Butler is up here and he's talking about Dorothy. He said, you know, Dorothy said there's no place like home. Is that what Dorothy said? And I'm thinking, Dorothy. Oh, yeah, he's talking about Dorothy Kazar. That's who he's talking about. You know, Dorothy went off and served someplace for a little while and then she felt led of the Lord to come back home, and she said, there's no place like this place. No place like home. And I thought, that's who he's talking about. He's talking about Dorothy Kazar. Then come to find out he's talking about some movie or something. I don't know. I was highly disappointed. But now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. I'm saying this. I'm saying that these children were loved. They were loved. I was just talking about you, Dorothy. And they were loved. All right? And so can I tell you tonight that you ought to make sure that if you're a prodigal teenager, if you're a prodigal adult, if you're a prodigal away from the Lord Jesus, you ought to make sure tonight that you understand how God, I love this, restores. We had a guy when I was pastoring in Tennessee. He got away from the Lord. And I don't think it was because of the pastor. I knew him well. But as I was pastoring there, he got away from the Lord. And man, he got cantankerous. Just got cantankerous. I mean, just rude. Every time I'd see him someplace, it's a small town. Every time I'd see him someplace, he would just say these cutting remarks. And I'd just look at him and say, I love you, brother. I'm praying for you. And I'd just go about my business. And then every time I'd see him, boy, he'd speed off, cantankerous. And I'd wave at him real gentle and smile. And later on, he got right with the Lord. And when he got right with the Lord, God began to work in his life. I was a youth director in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and we had some young people. And sometimes they get mischievous, you know, and they get in trouble. And I know none of our teenagers do that. I mean, all of ours are angelic without the halo. Some of those young people I had in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, they get in trouble. And boy, they get in big trouble. And I look at different ones and I pass a judgment and say, well, that one would probably never amount to much. And that one would probably never amount to much in my heart. And that would probably never amount to, you know, like some of you do. And that would probably never amount to much. And that one probably never amount to much. And sure enough, every single one of those booger heads that I said would probably never amount to much are out serving Jesus Christ. And the ones that I thought were going to hit home runs are doing nothing. Blew me away. I mean, just absolutely blew me away. All right, now I'm saying this. I'm saying don't judge a book by its cover until you've read the content. You know, just make sure that you understand that God loves each and every one of his children. And all of a sudden when somebody walks in the back door and you say, well, I'll tell you what, they've not been in church in a long time and I just don't know, they're not welcome here. Oh, everybody's welcome in God's house. Everybody. You see some burly-looking fella, and he walks in the back door, and he's got more tattoos than he has skin. And you say, well, I'll tell you what, I want to say I'm proud of you because our church has grown to the point I really believe that anybody that comes here is going to feel like that they're loved and they're accepted. I appreciate that. We have people come here. Boy, I had a person I stopped. I ran outside after him last Sunday. And I said, hey, you're a visitor, aren't you? And she said, yes, I am. She had so much smoke in her jaw that when she said, yes, I am, I'm like, glad you came. All right, now wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. But I am glad they came. I am glad they came. Now, why? Because in a church like this, they will hear the truth enough that they'll, come on. I would not want to go to a place where somebody would not preach enough not to challenge me to do more and to become more holy. Amen. And to become more holy. See, in our churches, a preacher used to get up and he would preach about holiness, but nowadays it's not, you know. Nowadays in the average church that I see across America, they've got more music than they do preaching. You know, they really do. And it's all about, you know, the feeling, you know, and it's almost like they're on drugs, you know, and you say, what's that all about? Well, it's not about Jesus, I don't think. Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying, listen, you treat those equal, those kids. We did something years ago, my wife and I, and we've been doing it ever since, and that is if we go and we take a trip somewhere and one of our kids can't come, we would try to give them a little money where they can do something on their own to equal or come close to or at least meet some needs in their life because they got left behind. Now, we do that simply because we don't want them to get hurt feelings. Oh, you say, nobody get hurt feelings. Oh, you'd be surprised how many people get hurt feelings. You'd really be surprised. We're living in such a feeling-crazed society. I've never seen such in my life. Man, people they look for reasons to get their feelings hurt. You know, they say, I dare you to knock it off. I dare you. Then when you knock it off, they say, I knew you didn't care. You know, but we live in such a feeling-crazed society. You know, I wish we could get back to, and I think a lot of the media stuff has a lot to do with that. You know, everything, Brother Crutcher, it's just media, 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 and it just pulls on those emotions and milks that cow over and over and over again, and then you just get so strung out because of that. Now, I'm saying tonight, thank God for a God that restores. You know, he'll use you, and he'll bless you if you decide as a prodigal that you come back to the Father.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.